Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
The black t-shirt day here on the show? I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't send out a memo, but I guess we pulled it off, too. It's like you, the shirt you're wearing, by the way, this is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi, Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone. I could wear I would wear that shirt. I like Creed
t-shirt.
I like Creed.
I'm going to make sure to talk in the mic today because I've been heard I'd be a little too
well,
quiet.
Well, I didn't expect to get a whole thread on a message board about it, but I did text you about it as well.
Yeah.
Because you do this number a lot. Don't
do
that.
I'll bring it with me. I'm sorry. Everyone.
I texted him. I was like, the mic will move. You got to take it with sometimes. So thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you aren't in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, it's really easy. Just make a quick trip to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it shipped right to your door. strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. If you want to have Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you,
beef,
it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you cooked for mom on Mother's Day, I hope you maybe made beef part of the meal. And if that's what mom wants, that's what mom gets. But now we can put the shenanigans of Mother's Day behind us.
All right.
And start focusing on the day, Father's Day. You definitely got to get dad a steak for Father's Day. So between now and then, though, plenty of great opportunities to fire up the grill, make beef the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything Mississippi State, everything maroon and white right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number, bankers that treat you with the level of respect that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. First and foremost, happy Mother's Day to all who are listening. If you're listening on a Monday, belated Mother's Day to you. I hope everybody had a great one, took care of their moms. I learned that I know how to make sausage gravy today. I made it for the first time.
Wow.
It was really good. I did a good job.
That does sound good.
It was good. Biscuits and gravy. I did not do homemade biscuits. That's a bridge too far. I'm not a baker.
Why not homemade cornbread?
First off,
I don't like eating sand.
All right. There's a number of issues with what you just said. All right. First off, it's brunch. All right. Who's having biscuits and who's having cornbread and gravy? And sausage gravy. Who's doing that?
I was more just making a joke.
You were making a joke, but I'd now you fucked me up.
I'd eat cornbread whatever.
Well, that's fine. But no, it's breakfast. She wanted breakfast. It turned into brunch. So I made biscuits and gravy with some bacon. And I made a donut thing. I went and bought some donuts. And then I made some caramel and tossed the donuts in it.
Oh, yeah?
And then tossed some toffee pieces over it. So I made a little
fancy there, Brian.
I know how to make caramel. Do you know how to make caramel? It's dirt.
Caramel?
Carmel is a city in Indiana. All right.
It is. And no, everyone that doesn't live there does not like Carmel.
That's fine. Caramel, because there's an A there, right? C A R A M E L.
Yeah.
Caramel.
Caramel.
It's something different. Do you know how to make it?
No.
It's dirt simple.
Tell me.
Put sugar in a pan.
Yeah, it's in the pan.
Done. Just let it melt.
You just have to brown it.
You got to brown. Yeah. Well, I start with brown sugar. And then you add a little butter. You're done.
All right.
That's how you make caramel.
I know how to make caramel.
No, I'm just going to tell you one thing, though. Two things. Watch it, because it will burn.
Watch it. Oh, I thought you were telling me watch it.
No.
It's like, all right.
Yeah, okay, two things. Watch it, and then watch it, because it will burn on you super, super
quick,
fast.
Quick,
and then it's also similar to like making a roux. Don't get any on you.
It will.
It's
It's
like,
blue.
yeah. No, it's not just, it's like napalm. It is
Oh,
rocket hot.
so
It will burn you in a
yeah.
way you did not think was possible.
Ew.
Never. Caramel and roux are the two worst things that if it splatters and gets on you, you're in trouble.
You're done.
So, you ever made a roux?
No.
Yeah, and it's super easy.
I'm not. I haven't
It's
made a.
patient, but you know.
I don't think I've made dessert other than like the cookies you buy at the store
You
and
can make
plain
roux in the
juice.
microwave. It's not that hard, but it's better if you make it in the skillet and take forever.
Guess I don't know how to cook anything, Brian.
You need to learn.
I'm 23, man. I just started
I'm just saying, you guys figure those
this.
things out. All right, let's move on to a far more frustrating topic, and that's Mississippi State baseball. Not a great weekend. Just simple as that. State, we said it 2 weeks ago. They had three series remaining. Their job was don't get swept on the road, win the series at home. They get the game on Thursday, and the vibes couldn't have been higher. Everybody was excited, like they're going to win this series. Their bullpen's set up. They're going to get McPherson back. We talked about it on Friday's show. We broke that news there. He was, in fact, back, and it just completely got away from them. They give up a ninth-inning home run on Friday night to lose that game, and then Saturday's game was just a complete train wreck from start to finish. A team that just, quite honestly, didn't look ready to play, looked disinterested at times, didn't seem to have any energy to them whatsoever. McPherson had some. That first inning, he looked great, and he was fired up. And then it got away from him, and then he injured himself trying to cover the plate, and they pulled him, and it just spiraled from there. And so State now, instead of winning the series and being absolutely locked in as a regional host and pushing to be a super regional host, will now have to work really hard just to make sure they are a regional host. They have to win at least one game at Texas A&M, and they probably have to sweep if they want to be a top eight seed. Carlo, this is a very disappointing result, but in hindsight, maybe I shouldn't have been overly surprised because I said last week, I said this team has struggled against the better teams this year. At home this season, this team is 8-7 in SEC play. I'm sorry, they're 7-8. I had that backwards. They're 7-8 in SEC play. They're 8-4 on the road with a series left to go against the teams that are going to make the NCAA tournament because Vanderbilt, and I haven't seen today's score, but they've already lost one game to Missouri.
Yeah,
They're
they're
probably
done
done.
for.
So you've played three tournament teams at home in SEC play. You're 1-8 in those games. I'm gonna stick with my prediction I made last week, and that's I think it's a team that can get through the regional, but I just don't think they're going to get through a super regional, especially right now where they would likely be paired with I don't think UCLA, but Georgia Tech, Georgia, or Auburn is probably going to be waiting on the other side of the bracket from you, is the way things stand right now.
I remember when we talked after the game on Thursday, 10-3 win, we called it their best performance of the year from top to bottom.
We got a little of everything this weekend
You
then, because we
know,
got the worst too.
Valančiūnas, 13 strikeouts, offense was rolling, the grand slam. And then we look at Sunday, and then it's the first time they get run ruled all year. So they had their best and their worst performance 48 hours apart, which I feel like is a signal or a little microcosm of kind of what this team's been at times, inconsistent. They get the hitting one game, they don't get it the next. They get the pitching one game, they don't get the next. Friday was a kick in the gut. That ninth inning home run right up after they tie it. I mean, that's as tough as a loss as they've taken this year. And then, like you said, Saturday. I mean, what even was that game? If Ace doesn't hit that, I mean, they run rule really easily.
Well, I mean, well, he ran on them pretty easily,
But
regardless. But it
anyway,
would have been a
but
shutout. You're right,
yeah.
and I was almost positive when they went to review for fan interference. I was like,
They're gonna call
they're
it.
gonna call it
Yeah.
because that's just the way the day. At
Yeah.
some point, it's just like this is how this day is going for Mississippi State. Ace Reese is maybe like the highlight of the weekend, by the way. He had eight hits
Yeah.
over the weekend, and that's great news because you need him to get going for sure. But Friday's game was kind of that reversion back to not being able to find the timely hit, leaving guys on base. They stranded 10 runners. Now, look, Auburn stranded 10 runners as well. So they had their opportunities too. But when State got tied the game in the bottom of the eighth, I think everybody, it's going to be 3-4-5 coming up in the bottom of the ninth. You're thinking they'll manufacture a run,
One stop.
they're going to win this game 5-4. And my thought process immediately changed when I saw that Ben Davis was coming out for the ninth. He had given State two really good innings from in the seventh and eighth, but this has just been a trend all year. We're going to talk a little bit more about it with Brooks Bryan in just a minute, but I want to print shirts that say Ben Davis can't pitch three innings because it's every time that State has given him an opportunity to pitch a third inning of relief, something's happened. And I feel really bad for him because he had the guy 1-2. It looks like he's in complete control. He makes a mistake, and it's hammered. Then he gets the next three outs like it was nothing to it. And, you know, it's still 5-4. And at that point, okay, you've still got 3-4-5. Maybe it's going to be the tying run instead of the winning run, and you can go to the bullpen and try to win the game in extras. But State couldn't do that. I asked O'Connor on Saturday, did he think the team was hungover in terms of they got gut punched Friday night?
An emotional loss. Yeah.
Did he feel like it carried over? He said it did not. And he said he went as further as say, I don't think that I believe in that, which
interesting.
I'm going to disagree with Coach O'Connor on that one. I think that I think there are plenty of times where you can say a game beat you twice.
Yeah.
I disagree with him. I thought that team, they came out in the first inning, you've got McPherson, crowds into it. He gets a 1-2-3. You come out, you get a couple of hits, and you don't get anything. Second inning, it kind of, it unravels a little bit. Now you're down. Bottom of the inning, bases loaded.
Nothing.
Nothing. And look, we'll talk about this decision. Almost. I got through it. We're still a family program here. Did you think that McMullen should have sent the runner? I get what McMullen's thinking right there. He's thinking, look, Ace Reese is coming up. This is our best player. I don't want to send a runner here, and he gets thrown out at the plate, and I've taken the bat out of our All-Americans' hands. I understand the thought process there. I think he would have been safe, but I can't sit here and tell you for sure he would have been safe because you just don't ever know.
People were mad about that.
They were furious.
They were really, really mad about that. But, I mean, there's two ways to look at it. If he's out, I mean, that's not good either, and then you waste a base runner, or you get your best player on and, a three-run shot then turns into a two.
Yeah.
It's all about risk and reward, and I think I don't disagree with the decision because the guys that were coming up in the lineup, but at the end of the day, one run was not going to decide that game no matter what. Mm-hmm. I mean, as we clearly all saw. But I don't think that is – people shouldn't make as much of a deal as that really was because McMullen's thinking, especially that early in the game, that one run is not going to win this game. They're going to need seven or eight.
Yeah.
So you might as well get three in one shot versus two.
I do think that's what's going through McMullen's head there. Is like if he's out at the plate, I've denied bases loaded to Ace Reese. Like, I have to trust that Reese is going to do his job and knock these guys in.
And he's having a good weekend.
And he had a great day on Saturday, except for the one time they needed him to do it. And that's not
baseball.
Great. That's baseball. But, yeah, he had four hits on Saturday or on Friday and three on – he had a really good weekend, and which was weird. He had a terrible Thursday night.
Yeah.
It was awful in that on Thursday. But
he struck out three times.
Yeah, but he turned it around and ended up having a good weekend, which is great news because State needs that guy to get going.
Yeah.
But just a very, very disappointing series for Mississippi State, especially when to take game one the way you did and have all the momentum. And people are saying, your bullpen is perfectly set up. You only use two guys. You're going to be fine. And not only do you lose, but McPherson gets hurt again.
Yeah.
And then you bring in Jack Bauer for the game on Sunday. You're thinking, okay, well, let's see what Bauer can do. And he doesn't look like a guy who can go twice in a weekend. You bring in Maddox Webb, and he just looks completely uncomfortable, gets called for a balk, just did not look like he was in the right mindset to do things.
Just felt like the whole team was like that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they from the, I'm sitting, a few hundred feet away, but I just didn't, they just seemed checked out to me.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, and I don't think I'm alone in that.
No. I don't think you are either. I think your question to O'Connor was valid. Do you think this one beat you twice? I don't know if it does or doesn't, but I think when you're that close to winning the series in two games versus now you really got to fight for your life in the third, that's a big difference. Imagine if, they take Ben Davis out and they listen to, the analytics and everything that says that, hey, this guy can't go. And
that's what I want to know. Like, do the analytics really say that he deserves that he gets that third inning? I want to see those analytics
for a coach that's also very analytical.
Yes,
like he loves the pinch hitter with the left right or the right left.
Plays those matchups all the time.
Strictly plays Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
I believe against was is
He
he against
against lefties because
lefties?
he's a
Yeah,
right-hander.
yeah. I mean, for a guy that's so analytical, I just don't know how that goes over your head. I get he's a veteran. I get he's a senior. I get all that, and he's done it, and he's been a closer for a while. But just not this season. He
Well,
just hasn't done it this year
the other
like
side
that.
of that coin, Carlo, is that we talked about on Thursday. You used two guys, so all your arms are there.
Yeah.
You've got to be willing to use them there. Yes, Davis gave you a seventh and eighth. He kept you in the game. Now it's tied. Make the
You could
change.
win the
You could
series.
win the series right here. Make the
All you need to
change.
do.
And look, that's not to say that you bring in Maddox Webb there and he doesn't give up a run. He could have done it as well. But at least I feel like, at least in my head, I felt like, well, they made the right decision. It just didn't work. Whereas with Davis, I don't feel like that's the right decision.
No, because it's burned them so many times this
Right.
year. Get a fresh arm in there in the ninth.
Right.
If he gives up a home run and he comes out of the bullpen 5 minutes earlier, so what? Like, you know, that's I think the right move, especially when you factor in the analytics like we were saying with Ben Davis. But they just time and time again, they trust him and it burns them. I mean, they've gotten lucky in a few games, like the LSU series, when it did burn them, but they were able to, you know, fend them off and come back. But I just don't. It's like that and Woodson are two head scratching moves that he's done this season that I'm very questioning why they keep. I understand this weekend with Woodson and the wires thing. That I understand, but leaving him in for so long this season has just been like so interesting. And then the Ben Davis stuff we just talked about.
Yeah, the what's the word I'm looking for? The Woodson stuff.
Outside of this weekend, there's no excuse.
It doesn't make a lot of sense
Yeah.
because Wires was good when you gave him an
Yeah.
opportunity.
And then he got hit in the head.
And then that's just
It's
unlucky.
just weird.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that that cost State either game.
No, definitely not Saturday's game.
No, Saturday's game for sure. This has just been a frustrating season because I feel like this team is better than they've played. All right. This
100%.
team is not, this team is more talented than being 1-8 against Georgia, Tennessee, and Auburn. All right. This team is more talented than their record against good teams. This is a team they've only won four SEC series of the nine they've played. And three of those are against teams that will not be in the NCAA tournament. And the fact that, we talk about it like it's the State Ole Miss series is weird. State being 4-0 against this Ole Miss team is really another layer to that. Like they should not be 4-0 against this team.
And then they play in the Governor's Cup like a month later when a lot's
Well,
changed for both of them and they still win.
yeah. That's I mean, they're 4-0, and they didn't play any of those games in Starkville, which maybe was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah,
That's one
this
thing that
point.
gives me. I don't know if optimism is the right word, but I'm interested to see because this team has been good on the road.
They have.
All right, they swept Ole Miss, they swept South Carolina, they did lose two out of three to Arkansas, but they were in every game.
Walked off in one of them,
They got
though.
walked off, and were they very close to winning that series. Had an had what a seventh inning lead in the other game. They had opportunities. A&M is reeling a little bit. Since they swept Texas, they haven't been as good. They lose two out of three. What a weird series for them this weekend, too. They lose two out of three, but the one they won, they beat Ole Miss
They beat,
18-5. They beat them up and down.
yeah,
So,
that was a weird series
yeah.
in Oxford. But like you said, they're reeling. So this could be State being or State playing well on the road. Texas saying I'm, you know, not playing their best ball. I mean, this is a big opportunity for them for this weekend.
Yeah.
We've been saying that about the last few, but man, if they can get two and win this series, everything that they want to do except for host probably a super is in front of them. You think? You would you
If
put
they
that
win,
out
so
if they go?
if they win the series, they have a chance to host the Super.
But how much does the committee value the SEC tournament?
Not very much, I don't
I
think.
didn't think so
But
either.
having the Governor's Cup win helps them a little bit. It's really an
We
extra.
keep getting about that.
Yeah, so if they can win two games this weekend, that would put them at 17-13 plus the Governor's Cup. That they're on the bubble to be the eighth seed. It would basically be the opposite of what happened. Like we said, they needed to win two out of three from Auburn and then just not get swept, right? It turns into don't get swept by Auburn and then you beat Texas A&M. You kind of have fixed
It's a
it.
wash,
Yeah,
yeah.
it's a wash, but that's going to be tough. That's going to be a tough thing to do. We'll talk about RPI when we come back. Let's go down to our conversation. We had Brooks Bryan on with us earlier to get his thoughts on this team. A very frustrating weekend. You can hear that in Brooks's voice as he gives his thoughts on what happened to the Diamond Dogs this weekend. Brooks Brian joins us. And Brooks, this is incredibly frustrating weekend for Mississippi State fans to go from where we were Thursday night, where you think, okay, they look great. They've got the whole bullpen set up to win this series and put themselves in a position to not only host a regional but a super regional. To 2 days later, you're very much going to be on the hosting bubble, depending on what happens this weekend in College Station. Just frustration all around. I don't like to say that like a team no shows. I don't want to say that because I don't know what's going on in that locker room or anything like that. But man, they did not look ready to play on Saturday to me. And I asked O'Connor about it in the post game. I asked, do you feel like maybe there was a hangover from the way you lost the game Friday night? And he said he didn't think that, but that team did not look like they were ready to play baseball on Saturday.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the way that they lost the game on Friday night, and then you add in, you got McPherson starting on Saturday, and in the second inning, he goes down with, a twisted ankle, is what it ended up being. But, you know, in the first inning, you had a chance to do a little something at the plate, and we didn't get the big hit. Or maybe it was the second inning. Early on,
Second inning, bases loaded, and Reese grounded out.
Yeah, that's right. And that may have been the third inning. But early on, you had some chances and didn't take advantage of it, and then Auburn did. And that's that was the name of the game yesterday. Auburn jumped out, and those games happened. We did the same thing on Thursday night. And I know we discussed it, and I told you, man, I really like Auburn's ball club, and I felt like that they would come back the last two games and play really well, and they did.
And now for Mississippi State, you know, this team, I said it last week, and I took some pushback from it on some message boards, but I really do think now that this is a team I think can win a regional. I don't have any doubt about that, especially when you consider how good they've been outside of the SEC. They only have two non-SEC losses. They lost at USM, lost to UCLA in the game in Arlington. But for whatever reason, against the top teams this year, this team just hasn't been great. And it's really surprising when you look at them at home. When you talk about the teams that are going to make the NCAA tournament that they've played at home, which are Auburn, Tennessee, and Georgia, you're 1-8 against those teams. And, you know, it's not that the crowd hasn't been great. They've had great crowds. They've had great, you know, performances. But that's just really weird when you think about baseball. This team's 8-4 in SEC play on the road and 7-8 at home. Still have one series, obviously, left to go this weekend. Is there any accounting for that? Why is this team struggling at home so much?
Yeah, I think if you look back at the 15 home games, a lot of them we got behind early.
Yeah.
I know all three against LSU, we started off down 3-0 in the first, but once we came back, the crowd really got into it. And most of the other games, though, when you look at Georgia, Tennessee, Auburn to an extent, especially yesterday, and even Friday night, I think they were up, 4-0, 5-0, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's just hard, and it's hard for the crowd to get involved whenever it's like that. But if you look back at the Vanderbilt series, we got up early, the crowd got involved, and the momentum carried over from there, and it kind of snowballed on Vanderbilt. And I think that's been a lot of it. And we just have struggled to get ahead early at home for whatever reason that may be. It may be pitching's giving up early runs like it did against LSU, or maybe where the pitching has given up 0 or 1 or 2 early and the hitting doesn't come until towards the middle or end of the game. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Just for some reason at home, we've had some slow starts.
Brooks, watching the last two games on Friday and Saturday, what do you think was the biggest difference that Auburn played with instead of what they had on Thursday? Like, when you're watching the games, what adjustment did you see they make or do anything that really, you know, changed the momentum of the series?
I just think they got some big hits that we got on Thursday. They kind of got that on Friday, especially, you know, in the 8th or 9th inning, whenever it was that they got the home run to take the lead when Frelick hit the home run. And then yesterday it was just, you know, they got out to a little early lead, I think a couple, you know, 2-0. And then all of a sudden it was 8-0. And then they just started playing with confidence, you know, and the crowd never got into it. But I mean, that's a good ball club. They play really well. They Man, their pitchers are going to keep them in a lot of games. Like I said, I know Thursday was kind of a unicorn as far as when Auburn plays games. Most of their games, they give up five or less runs, you know, if you look at them, SEC games. So I just think it was the fact of the perfect storm for us on Thursday night. Shortstop kind of took his time to make the play in the first inning, gave us a chance. We hit the grand slam, and it kind of snowballed there. But then Friday and Saturday, kind of Auburn played like the Auburn has all year. And we just didn't answer the call, especially yesterday.
So we'll just talk about the thing that you and I sort of we texted about it on Friday night, and that's Ben Davis. That Davis has been a really good reliever for Mississippi State this year. He has been a guy that State can rely on. But it has been a trend all season long that he can give you two really good, really solid innings, but that third inning, for whatever reason, just gets away from him. And I went back and looked at the stats. Obviously, we all remember the UCLA game where he comes in, gives you a couple innings. He's in complete control, but it gets away from him there in the ninth. You know, and he's got two outs there, and he's one out away from closing out a big win. Instead, he gives a hit by a pitch and then the home run to Rock Chuklosky, who, you know, will be a top pick, and it kind of goes from there. He did it again against Tennessee in a game where State was trailing 4-2 going into the ninth. He pitched a couple of solid relief innings, but then in the ninth, going for that third inning with two outs, single, 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 double, and all of a sudden now it's 7-2. He did it against LSU. He came in against two, gave two really good innings. Then they bring him back out there for the ninth, and he ends up giving up the go-ahead run. And that one, it happens again this weekend. And what's really frustrating is he was 1-2 on that hitter. He's about to strike him out. The next three outs he got very easily, but he makes one mistake, and it's just this trend of, it's almost like I want to print a t-shirt, Brooks. It says Ben Davis can't pitch three innings for whatever reason. And yet the coaches continue to insist upon allowing him to do that. Is that a coaching issue? Is that Ben Davis needs to do better? Where is the disconnect here for me at just watching the games without the benefit of whatever information O'Connor and staff have?
Right. I know I texted you as soon as I saw Ben
As soon as
Davis.
it happened,
As
you
soon
knew
as
immediately.
he ran back out to the we ran him back out to the mound to start. And I can't remember if that was the eighth, top of the eighth or top of the ninth. I can't remember. But either way, as soon as he ran back out there, I knew it was his
It was
third
top
inning,
nine. It was top nine.
top of
Yeah.
nine. It was his third inning. I mean, it was, you know, he had already thrown two complete and gotten one hitter in the sixth. So basically it was kind of his fourth inning, if you want to, you know, he'd been through two and a third. So as soon as I saw him come back out there, I texted you and several other guys, and I was like, "Hey, I don't like this decision at all. He's proven he can't do three innings. He can't get that seventh, eighth, ninth hitter, tenth hitter that he sees. He makes a mistake somewhere in there, and lo and behold, the third or fourth pitch, home run, and that was the only mistake he made. But he always seems to make a mistake in that third inning. So I know the coaches use analytics a lot and make a lot of decisions based off of that. So I don't understand why they keep trying to extend him, and which I know he got the next three hitters out, but he made the one mistake pitch with a fastball right down the middle on 1-2. And that's just what he's proven to do when they try to extend him three innings. So to answer your question, I'm right there with you. I was with you before the batter, and I don't know. I don't know why they keep trying to extend it.
Let the record show, 10:38 p.m. on Friday. Brooks Brine don't like bringing Ben back out. So if you want to go match it up to whatever time in the game that was, know that Brooks Brine was ahead of the curve on that one. And I think immediately I was like, yeah, me either. And just is what it is at that point. So
Saturday, first time they ever, or not ever, but first time this season they get run ruled. You know, ace hits that home run, or they probably would have gotten shut out. Just what do you see in that game that really, I mean, it went downhill fast. So what did you see, or lack of, maybe from the Bulldogs to honestly stay competitive in that one?
I think when we didn't get the hit with bases loaded and two outs with ace early in the game, you know, some people are saying we should have tried to score Stallman from second on the base hit to right with Fry on the batter before. And I think you probably do try to score him if you're not sitting there looking that ace is the one on deck. You know, if you're kind of at the bottom of the order, for sure I think you try to score him. But at that point, I'm not I don't care really if we try to score him or not. I'm fine with Ace giving him a chance to really break it open. And when that didn't happen, Auburn took advantage of it, and the momentum shifted to Auburn. And then we had to go kind of the bullpen. And once you get into the bullpen on the third game, you got Burns, and I think Fowler was somewhere, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. And then you try to bring in Maddox Webb in a fifth or sixth inning when he's your closer, just to try to. To try to get a good inning or two to give your offense a start. But I mean, that kind of happens in games, especially on game threes, a lot of times where when the momentum starts one way and then goes a different way, it just starts kind of rolling downhill, and that's what happened.
And it's two weeks in a row where game three has been had, in game three against Texas, they were up 5-0, but they couldn't knock the starter out for whatever reason. They went 1-2-3 in the second inning and they let him settle in. First two innings, State strands two in the first. They leave the bases loaded in the second. You had opportunities to knock that guy out. Instead, you look up and he's still in the sixth inning and he's on his 100th pitch. And it looks like he might even throw a complete game if they had wanted to let him do so. Does this team just lack a little bit of killer instinct in some instances? It feels like sometimes they have a chance to land that knockout blow and they just, for whatever reason, cannot land it.
I would agree with that. In team captains, you talk about team captains, and you can't have coaches tell the team or tell players, "Hey, these are your two team captains and choose them." It has to be organic coming from the team. And I just don't know if we have that, Tanner Allen and Rowdy Jordan type players, Jake Mangum, Elijah McNamee, those dirt bags. I mean, Bryce is a dirt bag that reminds me a lot of those guys. Just a really good college baseball player, but I just don't know if he has the personality to be that guy. I don't think Ace Reese has that personality. So I think it's just a struggle to try to find those guys that would make sure that things like that don't happen. And it can't be coaches saying, "Hey, I want you to be." It just has to be organic. And right now, I think that may have something to do with it. It's just, man, we just don't have that mentality right now, whether it's the killer instinct or whether it's, one or two guys getting up in the back of somebody and saying, "Hey, step up, let's go." I think Ryan McPherson's one, and I think Tomas is too. I think those two guys, but you got to have a couple of position players to do the same thing.
I say you got to have a guy who's out there every day. And I want to talk about Ace for just a second because you mentioned that. We've talked to Ace, I think, three times this year after a loss. And I certainly don't want a guy who comes in down in the dumps and is acting like, the world's about to end. I don't want that. But every time we talk to him after a loss, he's just like, "Oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. We'll bounce right back." And to the point where it's almost nonchalant. And I've noticed that. I'm just like, I don't mind him saying that. Like, I don't want him to sit there and say, like, "Oh, God, we're terrible." But it does feel like the losses wash off him maybe a little easier than they should. If that's, I may be wrong. That's just how it comes across when we talk to him in interviews. On your team, you play with guys. It's and obviously very different because you play with guys who had been at State for a long time. Richard Lee and Adam Pydlick, they had been at State for 3 years at that point, but. You talked about organic leadership. Who were the leaders on your team? How would they have reacted to what happened on Sunday, on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I mean, we had several, leaders or dogs or whatever you want to call them. Barry Patton, Brad Freeman, Rusty Toms. I mean, we had the list kind of goes on and on of guys that are going to make sure that we're ready to play. And if we're not, it hurts, and that was the personality that we all had. I was the same way. I mean, when we lost, it hurt, and you could kind of see that in my personality. With Ace, I'm not saying that he doesn't care. I'm not saying that it's kind
Right, and that's not what I'm saying either,
of
correct?
exactly. I just think that that's just his personality. And that's just some people's personality. And I think Bryce is a different type because he's always been a dog. I think if in interviews with him, he's going to show more of a bad feeling after a loss, just because he's been a bulldog for a long time. He grew up a bulldog. So I know that he's going to show that, but I just think it gets back to that point. And maybe that's the new portal era too, where, you don't have that many guys on a team that's there for a long time. Like you said, whenever I was there, pretty much everybody had been there for 2 or 3 years.
One more thing about Ace before we move on. I have a different question. His post-game interview Friday night was 95 seconds long
It's quick.
total.
Yeah.
Questions, answers, everything. Because I looked on
I just
YouTube,
didn't have anything to ask him.
minute
Yeah.
35. I was like, wow, okay. Anyway, one thing I want to note, Brooks, no more midweek games. So from here on out, it's A&M, Hoover, and then it's playoff time. You've got no more get right games. What's the mentality going into this next week, and how do you rebound after a series like this and kind of want to shake it off before? I mean, we keep saying in most important series of the year, but I mean, this is bona fide most important weekend for State this season.
Yeah, I think this is the best thing that could happen is to not have a midweek game where we go in. They got today off, obviously, but they should start back tomorrow and just get basically it's just get right back at practice and get right mentally. Because yesterday was just, I mean, it was a bad showing, even though it was just a snowball effect type deal. But they need to get back to the mentality, and they knew going into this weekend this was probably, in my mind, more important weekend than next weekend. But now next weekend is that much more important because you didn't take care of business this weekend. I think ahead we've still had, let's just say you go and win two out of three at A&M. That gets you to 17 wins. I think you're still 50-50 on being a top eight seed. I think you probably need to go to Hoover and win one or two. I don't think Hoover can hurt you at all, but I definitely think whenever you're talking about trying to get, into the, a host site of 16 or a super regional at eight, it can help you the farther you go at Hoover. So I think, and I think that's the mindset. Go and win the series at Texas A&M, and then we can figure out what we need to do at Hoover. And by then, you'll probably be a 4 or 5 seed if you win two or three at A&M. And then if you're a 5, you'd play Thursday. If you're a 4, you would probably not play till Friday.
Looking at the way the RPI stacks up too, right now for Mississippi State, probably like they're probably going to be matched up with either Georgia Tech, Georgia, or maybe a rematch with Auburn. That's probably where you're seated right now. You want to try to find a way to at least boost that up to where you're if you are on the road for a super, it's at Kansas, although they got swept this weekend, or Coastal Carolina or something like that. Right now, Mississippi State's not in a position where I would want to predict them to make it to Omaha. So, gonna be a tough weekend. I think maybe the last time Mississippi State had a successful weekend at College Station, Brooks, you might have been on the team for that
Yeah,
regional. It's
that's
been
right.
a while.
98.
That has not been a place where Mississippi State has had a ton of success since the Aggies have joined the conference. Brooks, we'll talk to you again later this week, man. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys, appreciate it.
All right, let's move into the RPI discussion. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother.
Go ahead.
You got something to say? No, you
I don't have it. I don't have anything to say.
yeah.
Actually, I do have a number to say. 112. It's the final win count this year.
Well, you know what that means?
You're at
It means I was at 88.
88.
That's fine. That's fine.
I remember when I was
But
at 88.
yeah, I'm sure you do. Now the regular season is over. Now we're in the postseason.
So,
So,
are they gonna get a?
I was talking to Colin Dams. I was like, he because he made a comment about it. I was like, now we're in post. I just like cut off social media. I'll go 0 dark 30 like LeBron, and just I'm eating 24 wings every game. Just like I'm gonna win this one way. I'm going to every. I'm telling. I got a broadcast. Like I'm going to every game of the regional because I can get a voucher for every game. And I can just keep going down there and getting food.
Hey, I'll be there too. Don't worry.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You don't know that. You might get a you might be sent to the Oxford Regional if that happens. You don't know where your work is going to take you.
Well, we'll see.
We will see. What we do know though is that it's been a great year for Two Brothers at the ballpark. Everybody I have seen talk about it be like, "Dan, these are awesome." I give Mississippi State a lot of grief. I'll give them some credit. I think from a ballpark food perspective, what State's putting out there every week is really, really good.
Yeah.
The special items they've put out have been really good. The chicken tacos this weekend were good. I had some of those. The churros were good this weekend. I had some of those. But like the burger, the sausage, State does a good job on ballpark food. It's convenient with the grab and go. You're not really waiting in very long lines. They got a lot of people checking you out. Thumbs up to Mississippi State for that. And thumbs up to Two Brothers because that's the jewel of this is the Two Brothers Smoke Wings, the best ballpark food in the SEC. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you are looking for business technology, if you need a new new computers, new laptops, new copiers, new printers. Call my friends at Advantage Business Systems. They'll get you taken care of. But more importantly, they're going to take care of you long, long after the sale. If something goes wrong, you've got people you can rely on, people you can trust, people you can call. And because they're in Mississippi just like you, they can take care of your problems a lot of times the same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the place to find John Deere green this summer. The summer savings event is on right now at Scruggs. It's just like the heat. It's on in the state of Mississippi.
Not cool.
Are you a pro? Well, then maybe you need a John Deere commercial mower. You can get 0% financing for 36 months. If you're trying to do a little off-roading this summer, grab the John Deere Gator. 1.9% financing for 36 months. And for those big projects, when you got to like get that Richard Cross size house, you can clean up the back 40 with a compact tractor, 0% for 72 months, or 5-series tractor, 0% for 84 months. And if you're just, you know, just a yardsman, you're just trying to keep your own yard looking good, a zero-turn John Deere mower, 0% financing for 36 months. All these offers run through August 4th. Don't let the summer pass you by. Head to Scruggs today in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. I know a bunch of my friends were at Maroon & Co. this weekend buying some great gear. And hopefully using our promo code to save themselves a little money. If you are looking to buy, you know, if you got to do something late for mom, you're like, oh, God, I forgot. Which, first off, if you did that, shame on you.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
She gave birth to you.
Lock it in, man.
Lock in. But if you haven't, or if you're looking ahead for dad, which is always a great idea, Maroon & Co. is the place to shop. Use the promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville. Before you get back for the Starkville Regional. Make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Good Hope Land and Timber here in the state of Mississippi. That's the name to know if you are trying to buy or sell land, and they can certainly help you with that. Doesn't matter if you're trying to buy a couple hundred, a couple thousand acres. Good Hope Land and Timber will make that happy for you. But if you're already a landowner and you're just thinking, I need to manage my land, I need to manage my timber, you know, how do I do that? How do I get the most out of it? How do I keep my land sustainable? That's where Good Hope Land and Timber really can come in and help you out. Years of experience, good people. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a simple phone call. 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. Find out why Good Hope Land and Timber is locally trusted and landowner approved. All right, let's look at the RPI. Not a lot of changes. Auburn has moved up to number one. I'm sorry, number one. Number three. They moved up one spot to number three. My bad. They're number three. UCLA, Georgia Tech still one and two. Texas four. They dropped a spot. Dropping two games this weekend to Tennessee. Alabama stays where they are. I don't think that game has gone final yet for today. Let me see if I can find it for Alabama, South Carolina.
They won the first two at South Carolina. Right?
They're up 7-5 in the top of the ninth. So they're looking to sweep Alabama. I'm sorry, they're looking to sweep South Carolina, which is what we predicted would happen. North Carolina is at 6, Florida State at 7. USC is up two spots to number 8. Southern Miss up two spots to number 9. Southern Miss now, if that game has gone final, let me see if it has. Coastal was losing to Coastal has lost. So Southern Miss now a game back of first in the Sun Belt. They're up to 9 in the RPI. Mississippi State currently at 10. Texas A&M is at 11. They dropped a spot, they dropped three spots as a result of their series loss to Ole Miss. Florida's at 12. They took two out of three this weekend from Kentucky. Florida is almost a lock to host now. They have 15 conference wins. They're going to finish with LSU, so you know they're going to get a couple wins there for sure. And they have 15 quad one wins. That's the second most now. Auburn getting two wins this weekend put them in first place as far as that. Ole Miss is 13th. 14th is Oregon State. Georgia is 15th, but that's kind of irrelevant. They'll be a top five seed. Nebraska is at 16. A couple of big shakers here. Oregon got swept by – I'm sorry, they took two out of three. UCLA finally dropped a conference game. So Oregon got a win off of them. They jumped up eight spots as a result of that. They're 19th. West Virginia moved up seven spots as a result of sweeping Kansas. Remember last week the projections had State traveling to Kansas for a super regional. Kansas is now down to 21 in the RPI. So that's a big drop for them. Coastal Carolina also the big dropper this week. Seven spots, losing two out of three to Old Dominion. As it sits right now, Mississippi State could still be considered a host, but they're going to be towards the backside of things. My guess is, and it's just a guess, UCLA is going to be the one seed. I don't see State being paired with UCLA. Georgia Tech could be a destination state. Could have to go to Atlanta. They could have to go to Auburn. They could have to go to Austin. They could have to go to Athens. That's kind of where they are. The odds of them being the 10 or 11 and getting maybe a softer landing spot for the Super Regional is they're going to have to do some work. That said, they have three road games left against the number 11 RPI team. If they win two of those games, they probably jump up back into the top eight for sure. Southern Miss this weekend is hosting Georgia Southern, who's 210 in the RPI. USC has a good opportunity. This is actually a really big series, actually. USC will be at Oregon this weekend.
Wow.
So that's number eight, number 14. The winner of that series will host, and the loser probably will not. Simple as that. Alabama will be hosting Ole Miss this weekend. So the winner of that series is going to feel really good about things, and the loser is going to be in a little bit of trouble. Who does Auburn finish the year with? I think they have an easy one. No, they
No,
don't.
they
They're at
don't.
Georgia. They host Georgia. That's not going to knock anybody out of a super regional. That's just maybe a little bit here and there.
Just a measuring contest.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. So State, despite all this, and this is something that fans, they get emotional, like, we don't deserve to host. Well, if I can quote the movie Unforgiven, no,
Well,
no.
quote it, quote it.
Deserves got nothing to do.
You're threatening me here, Brian. You already said you're coming at me. Can you please just say the reference?
Deserves got nothing to do with it.
All right. Fine. I'll take the loss.
Deserves got nothing to do with it, though. When you say, like, they played so bad this week, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. They're 38 and 14th. They're 10th in the RPI. They have 14 wins, quad one and quad two, and they don't have a single bad loss on the season. One of the few teams in college baseball with zero quad three, quad four losses. If you look in the top 10, it's just them and Auburn for no bad losses. That the resume, look, is the resume as strong as you'd like it to be? No. I'd be the first one to tell you that, right? They should have probably two more wins. If they were 17 and 10 in the conference, there'd be no questions asked, right? But they still are 15 and 12 in the top conference in the country. If they win two this weekend, they're going to host, they'll have a great chance to host a super regional. Winning one is probably going to be enough to, they'll be on the bottom. They'll be, maybe the 14, the 15, maybe the 13 if they're lucky. But that the Starkville Regional is still a very much a possible, I would say a probability at this point.
Yeah, they can't get swept.
Just don't get swept.
For a team that is playing an A&M team that isn't playing their best, I think the goal shouldn't be not to get swept, but it should be to get two. Because they get two, I mean, that all but locks it all down, no matter what, kind of what happens in Hoover or whatever. So, I mean, that with the Governor's Cup too, if they somehow find a way to win two there and they make a run in the SEC tournament, that would probably put him closer to the national seeds versus the bottom half of the
Yeah, the tournament
regular seeds.
might end up mattering for Mississippi State. They might, if they could grab a couple in Hoover, they might be able to bump themselves up into the top eight.
Yeah, if they have a meaningful run, that'll definitely help.
I don't know the bracket well enough because, not all 16 teams are going.
I think they're fifth right now. Are they fifth in
No,
the SEC right now?
no, they are not. They're down to eighth, I think.
Oh,
Let me
wow.
double check that. They are currently eighth, which I wonder if they'd be playing Ole Miss. I don't need that. I don't need
I
that.
would love that.
I don't.
That'd be
I don't want
awesome.
any part of that. I bet that. No, surely they wouldn't. Surely they would be playing the
You
16.
gonna go to Hoover?
No, we're not going.
Okay. I
Surely they'd play the 16.
think the 9 plays the 16, which is Ole Miss as of last time I checked.
So, okay.
But
So
that might be different now because they beat A&M.
Ole Miss is still ninth.
So they play
They
like
play
South Missouri.
Missouri. Does the winner of that play the eight?
I mean, you got a computer, you can look up the bracket.
I guess. Yeah, let me see if I can find it here.
Anytime I used to ask my parents a question, they'd always be like, "You got a phone? Look it up."
Yeah, I mean, I get
It's
that,
like,
but
all
here, all right,
right.
here's the bracket. Here we go. So you're correct. Nine plays 16. The winner of that plays the eight.
Oh, how much are you up in the you and Richard Cross? You're up one.
One point. He would
So
lose.
this is the one thing you don't need to
I
happen.
don't need State to play. I need Ole Miss to find a
There's
way.
still a whole another
Well,
weekend.
there's a whole other weekend, and State could easily jump up, or they could fall down. I'll be honest with you, and I'm not. This may sound bad.
Oh, here we go. Let it rip,
If
Brian.
State drops to nine and they play Missouri in the first game, just lose. Just get it over with.
Just lose.
I can't deal with this. I do not want to have to wear Ole Miss stuff again.
I don't think most.
I suffered enough.
I don't think fans would agree with you.
They wouldn't, but.
They could be like, Brian Haydad wants us to lose.
Sometimes I got
to
be selfish. I got to be selfish
so
sometimes.
You're scared of Ole Miss after rooting for them.
I'm not. First off, okay, there's a lot wrong in what you just said.
Well, you said.
I wouldn't be scared of them because State is 4-0 against them, and they've dominated that series. But I just don't need the. I just don't need the I don't
stress.
Need the stress. All right, I'm an old man.
You've been rooting for them, though.
I have not been rooting for them. I just said that they're.
I saw you in the red and blue.
No, you did. I will fight you. All right,
you've already tried coming at me multiple times.
This is
today.
This is different, though. This is real. Don't you dare. So let's do a quick look at the bracket here. That's a good though. So as it stands right now, with a weekend to play, day one, Ole Miss would play Missouri, 12-13. Kentucky would play Vanderbilt. Gosh, Vandy's out. They're out.
It's a bad game to watch for anybody.
10-15 is Tennessee and South Carolina, and then 11-14 is Oklahoma and LSU. That's day one.
Ew.
So let's just assume it chalk holds, right? Day two, Mississippi State would play Ole Miss. Day three, that's the five seed plays the winner. So Kentucky Vanderbilt. So we'll say Kentucky would play Arkansas. The seven seed would play. So the winner of Tennessee, South Carolina. So we'll say Tennessee would play Florida, and the four seed plays the winner. So the winner of Oklahoma LSU. So we'll say Oklahoma would play Auburn.
Ooh,
that's day two, and then day three. I'm not going to go that far down the road with it, but you do have the top four seeds get double byes, so they don't have to play until Thursday. It is single elimination the whole way through now, as well. All right, tomorrow's show we'll be back with some more baseball talk. I still need to get a Vanderbilt guy. So if you know a Vanderbilt person, anybody you know anybody?
No.
All right. If you know a Vanderbilt person, tell them hook me up. I'll be happy to talk to them. And beyond that, we'll talk to you again on Tuesday. We may have to move the rumblings too. I haven't decided yet, but I do have to get to Hattiesburg. We have a remote on Tuesday, so I got to leave early for that. So we'll figure that out though when we get there. For Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.